All right, to kick us off then, let's call it Steve Finch. Okay, Steve, thank you.
As part of early on in your talk, something about ration shops, I think you said ration shops. Can you just enlighten us about that, please? What the situation is with these things? If I heard you correctly.
Comrade Chowdhury?
Yes. Ration shops are those shops where government actually providing some grains for free of cost for some people who is having the ration card. So this is where some people can gather. Instead of doing only the providing some grains, so they can use it for vaccination purpose also. Actually, government is doing nothing here for vaccination purpose. Only 2 crore people till now, according to government confirmation, that people have get vaccinated. But we are almost 1.4 crore of people. So only 2 crore people vaccinated, that means it's a huge gap from government side.
Okay, thank you. So those ration shops are like social security in England. We get, in this country, we have payments, cash payments to people that aren't working. So that's an equivalent in India, is it?
No, they have to pay, but after pandemic, government have provided some foods for free of cost for the poorer people. So that's why, for the time being, it is provided by the government.
Right. A further question now from Mark Z. Okay, Mark.
Hello, Comrade Chowdhury. Thank you very much for your talk and greetings from Poland. I heard someone say recently, commenting on Modi, that he hates two things. One was communism and the other was Muslims. I was just wondering if that comment is a good summary.
That is the right thing that you have heard. And in the 21st century, if anyone is believing who is Hindu or who is Muslim, so you can imagine the nature of that person or their culture. So, Modi government has done nothing in the pandemic situation except some bullshit concept.
I was curious as to whether his anti-communism or is it anti-socialism? I mean, how does he, you know, how is that kind of expressed? In very pro-capitalism?
In one liner, you can say that he is the culprit for money laundering. Nothing else more than that. You can't believe that in India, there is a PM Care Fund. But due to the pandemic, when some reputed companies or industrialists donate in the PM Care Fund, so what it did, it is just made for out of audit scope. So people can't ask anything, whatever they have provided or donate for help for the humanity. No one has rights to ask any questions against those monies. So we can't believe or rely on him actually. He has done nothing in this country.
Right. Okay, Mark. You all right with that?
Thank you.
Okay. That's in the queue is Freddie. All right, Freddie.
Yes, thanks, Brian. Good evening, comrades. And thank you very much, Abhishek, for your very informative and upsetting details of what's happening in India. Of course, I think we all recognise that this pandemic the world over has been a disaster for the working class. We obviously share our concerns with what's happening in India also. But really, the question, something that was occurring to me, though, and to some extent picking up on the point that Mark, the previous questioner, mentioned, I'm not conversant with what the caste system is, other than I know there's some form of discriminatory against where you are in society in India. And the question is, where people have been getting treated for COVID, do you think the caste system plays a part in that? In other words, are some people getting perhaps more preferential treatment than others? And I don't just mean the rich, because the rich can obviously get away somewhere from it. Could you comment on that, please?
Sorry, actually, I didn't understand your query. You were asking the situations for COVID patients?
Yeah, perhaps it's my Scottish accent, Abhishek. If any of my English comrades understood that and wished to put the same point, but what I was saying, and I'll try and slow down a bit, Abhishek, is that the caste system in India, has that played a part in who gets treatment and who doesn't? Notwithstanding that the rich,
it's a major thing for Indian politics. Whoever come to lead the India, they actually done the first thing to start discriminate between Hindu and Muslim. The BJP government does it so vastly. But it's a quite known trick to everybody that if you want to do anything politically, then you have to separate people, Hindu and Muslim. That will do the rest for you. So it's a very caste specific, but common people doesn't seem like that they really believe in that. But some people actually. I'm giving you one example. There are some people who can donate for to create Ram Mandir in Ayodhya, but for vaccination, government is asking some 1,000 rupees in Indian currency for single vaccine. So you can imagine where 95% to 96% people who doesn't have food to eat both times, how they will get the vaccine. If you have sponsor like who can donate to create the Ayodhya Mandir for Hinduism, and there are no such people or no such leaders who can provide you a vaccination for free for the poor people. So caste is a major role, and it's followed by every political party.
Thanks for that, Abhishek. Thank you.
Brian, I request if no one is in the queue, then please unmute Binoy Sarkar. Actually, he doesn't know how to mute and unmute. And I'm sure he might have some questions or anything to say. Hello, Binoy.
Hello.
If anybody got any questions, may I remind you, please? Okay, Kamitaka, what's your question, please?
Bolo, Prashant. Ki hoyeche?
Actually, you are not familiar with mute and unmute here. So we request Brian, the chairperson, to unmute you if you want to share anything with us. That's why, or if you have any questions regarding the topics, then you can share with us or ask to us.
আমি কি বলবো, আমার কিছু বলার নেই তো। আমি তো বাপ্পার সঙ্গে সহমত হয়ে করেছি কাজটা, কাজে আমার আর কোনো প্রশ্ন নেই।
It's not good to use any local language. So if you kindly conclude anything from your point of view, then the chairperson can unmute you or we can move forward.
I am quite in agreement with Abhishek's conclusion that the solution to all these hazardous problems is socialism. And you know that socialism can come about by the action of majority of the working class, immense majority of the working class. They have to rise up for socialism. Now Abhishek has concluded that there are two conditions. One condition is objective condition, that is productive abundance. Productive abundance remains existing for long. And the second condition is subjective condition. Subjective condition has got two parts. One, organization, and the other is class conscious action by the working class. Now, organization is already present. World Socialist Movement is present. Organization is present. And its roadmap is quite correct. That is, peaceably if we may, forcibly if we must. Now this is the requirement for the world revolution. So our task is clear, that is to raise the class consciousness, raise the class consciousness of the working class of the world. That is the only task we have to do. So let us organize towards that objective. Thank you.
Thank you, Comrade Sarkar. Next is Steve Finch again. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, thanks, Comrade. Okay, thanks, Brian. Just to reinforce a couple of things that Abhishek brought up in his yes. In his talk, and one thing more. What the lessons that we have to learn, or that we should be trying to point out to our fellow workers, is that this pandemic has revealed the weaknesses of the system as far as humanity is concerned, as far as our class is concerned, because we've got the issue of national boundaries, which has made a response to this pandemic really, really difficult.
You see
particularly, oh, I've just lost my thread now. So yeah, the very fact that we have a worldwide chaos in terms of the response to the pandemic, is one issue that we ought to bring to our fellow workers. The second point that I think that Abhishek did mention is that the Indian health system was never ever going to be in a situation to meet this pandemic. Given the level of scientific knowledge that we have now, given the potential for abundance that we know is there as socialists, it's purely the system which of private ownership, which makes it impossible to put the resources that we require to meet this type of problem. However, what one of the things that we ought to also be telling our fellow led to believe that life's okay under capitalism, that and quite a few people, particularly in this country, are doing okay. You know, we're not starving over here. We've got reasonable conditions in comparison to many parts of the world. However, once we've got this type of a issue, once we are prevented from working, the wealth that we think we have, so as with the migrant laborers in India, who are basically one day away from absolute destitution, the working class is two in the rest of the world, in the advanced world, is maybe 2 months, 3 months, 4 months away from the very similar sort of destitution. And I don't think people realize that the precarious situation that we as members of the working class face, whether you work in a university or whether you work in an engineering factory, we all face that same sort of destitution because we are deprived of access to real social wealth. I'll leave it to that, comrades.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Whatever you have mentioned, it's really true. But not because of how can I explain that? It's not just because of some people or working class people is the responsible, but also the consciousness. Main thing is consciousness that the people doesn't have, because they are not such knowledgeable how to prevent or how to cure such like things. Actually, here in India, whatever we showed compared to pandemic, that there are some different strains that actually attack to the people. Like for some people who actually cured very fast, they actually faced some fever, cold cough, doesn't have smell, such things. That is one. These are something which due to because one strain, but some people who suffering from breathing problem, who suffering from internal damage due to some coronavirus effect. So these are some dangerous and separate strains which actually damage. One thing I can remember that one of my college friends affected due to this coronavirus, and he got damaged 75% of his lungs. So it's a deadly dangerous. Somehow he is returned home from ICU, but still 75% of lungs has been damaged due to coronavirus. So these kind of strains is really, really a deadly one for the humanity, actually. So it's not just because of anything that the healthcare system can help, because we don't have such kind of facilities here in India. But some doctors, nurses, they are trying, even some police, they are trying to prevent people so that they can stop spreading the things and learn the people how to prevent from them. Even in India, I have seen that only there is a statistics that only 14% people who wear mask properly. So you can imagine in a country like India, where population is just about 1.4 crore, 140 crore, where people who wear mask properly is just 14%. So 86% people don't know, or some people even don't wear mask. So how could we expect some cureness or some knowledge from them to prevent some pandemic situation, prevent from coronavirus situation? So not only we can blame only the government, but also we have to learn, we have to follow, we have to obey whatever suggested by the healthcare system, doctor, nurse, or anyone.
Ashley, if you could come back.
Just to slightly change the discussion, because we've talked so far about India's response to coronavirus, but the issue isn't the health service or lack of health services is incredible as far as I can understand. It's really difficult even to obtain painkillers. In England, for example, Abhishek, if you're dying, people who are dying do have access to morphine as a painkiller. I understand it isn't even possible in India to get hold of morphine. Is that correct? And this seems like it's one of the it's not a right to that people have, but it just seems astonishing type of thing isn't available in your country.
Your voice is breaking down sometimes, Steve. So could you please repeat again?
Don't.
Brian, are you able to listen carefully whatever Steve is mentioned?
Alok, would you please mute your mic? Thank you, Alok. Please mute your mic. Comrade Chowdhury, could you please respond to Comrade Finch's question? Regards the availability
Brian,
of morphine.
No. Actually, that is hided by the government. Actually, we are facing such situations where government declared that today 10 people have died, but in reality, it might be 110. So such kind of situation where we doesn't have any control. Even suppose in Hinduism, people will be born after his death. So suppose 10 people, 15 people actually born at the same time. Such kind of situation where we doesn't have place. So we cannot do it one by one. So we have to do it on a 10 at a time, 15 at a time. Such kind of real scenario that we have seen. So yeah, even from medical purpose also, some people actually are feeling very fear. So due to that, he is buying some oxygen concentrator, he is buying some medicines, and those people who really needs them, they won't get. So this kind of situation has also occurred. Not because of the business, but also for the fear that people is having right now. So it's a massacre situation here, and no one have to control. No one have the right to do anything, because government unable to provide everything, not everything, even not a bed. If someone is affected by coronavirus, then 90% chance he or she will not get a single bed in the hospital. And doctors are also not available every time because suppose in a hospital there are 20 doctors, but the patient is right now is almost 400. So for them also, it's very difficult to manage each and everyone. So from every perspective, the situation is very dangerous here. So who is having the deadliest pain of coronavirus, they are suffering a lot.
Right. The next on the picking list is Comrade Tubio. Comrade Tubio.
Good evening, comrades. Actually, I just want to add up what Comrade Stephen tried to tell Abhishek, and that you see this problem, whether this is pandemic or it is a pandemic, the world is facing this global crisis. Now, this crisis as we are facing is the way we are handling under capitalist mode of production, and as we know that under capitalist mode of production, we can't distribute all resources properly. So the problem that you have told about the distribution problem through rationing or some other way, so capitalism is powerless to assist this crisis. The point is, this is not because of the leadership, this is not because of economy, this is because of the system which is powerless to handle this crisis. If it would have been this same pandemic or pandemic would have been in the socialist system, so we could handle in a much more better manner. That's what I hope that Stephen wanted to tell. And that's what we understand. And second thing that I just want to add with the permission of chair, the question of Freddy, he's tried to raise that whether the caste in the caste system, that is a new concept to him, as he said, that he doesn't understand this caste system, whether this caste system has any impact on the people who are getting, you know, treatment or who will not get the treatment, whether this caste system has any influence or not. So to this question, I just want to add with the actually this Hinduism and Muslim, Hindu Muslim, this is not basically based on caste, this is based on religion. Amongst the same religion, there are different again category on caste. So this caste system in a major city in India, this caste system will not have much influence on who will get the proper treatment or who will not. But in the remote place of India, where this caste system is very prominent, there may be some cases where this treatment, whether they will receive treatment or not, it is influenced in some places, not in major cities, but in the remote places, yes, there are some problems. Those who are low caste or who are treated as a low caste people, they may not get the good facilities as compared to the good caste system. But it is in a remote place only, but not in major cities. Thank you.
Thank you for that information, comrade. The questions suddenly flooded in at the moment. Right, back to Mark again. Thank you, Mark.
I had a question about whether, in terms of the organization of, let's say, the delivery of the vaccine or healthcare, are there any regional differences in India? For example, I believe Kerala, the state, is thought to be a more secular and better organized. Sort of from the public services point of view, is that true? And maybe a secondary question is about socialist consciousness. Are there areas, perhaps Kerala or somewhere like that, where there is a greater, let's say, socialist consciousness than in other parts of India? Because of course India is a world in itself, isn't it? With, you know, not just the size of population but the size of country. With I'm curious about the regional differences, if any.
Amit Chowdhury, would you like to respond to that? those questions, please. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, here in India, we know that Kerala is what we think that it's a most percent of educated people present in Kerala. So even they are also facing some kind of same situation. In India, not much of vaccines actually available right now. So none of the states are giving proper or exact amount of vaccine to their people who lived in that state. So there is a shortage currently in India, and everyone is in queue to get it vaccinated. So not only Kerala, it's for whole India. In every state, the situation is same. Some more or less high or low, but same situation arises all over the India.
Are you happy with that, Mark?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Okay. Move on now to Adam. Adam Burke. Thank you, Adam.
Just to answer Mark a bit, our comrades in India are in West Bengal, which is just as much a radical Marxist, in inverted commas, tradition as Kerala. But it wasn't that I was going to ask about. But when I was fixing up this meeting with Comrade Binay, he indicated that some members of the Indian party were opposed on principle to getting vaccinated. And he was asking, what is the attitude of members of the SBGB to vaccination? Well, I think we haven't got a party line on this, but it's up to individuals to decide whether they want to be vaccinated or not. But I would say that 98% of the members of our party will have got vaccinated. But I'm just interested to know, amongst the members of the Indian party, what arguments would have been used against getting vaccinated. Thanks.
I'm not sure who among our team member has got vaccinated. Even Binay himself have tried to get vaccinated, even for the first dose, for fourth or fifth time. Even at night time, 3 o'clock, he went to give a line to get vaccinated, but not succeeded. So even Binay's age is 80 plus. So even he is not getting vaccinated due to some unorganized things by the government, who doesn't track any records or any kind of help for the aged people or the people who needed it most. So in our case, from 1st May, government have declared that 18 plus ages people will get vaccinated from 1st of May. But still, we are suffering to get vaccinated just because vaccine is not available in the country. So whenever some portion of vaccine is available in our state, first, it was tried to get vaccinated the aged people, that is above 45 plus. And after that, few people, I am working in Tata Consultancy Services. In our company, they started to get vaccinated to their employees. But here also, they try to do it from older person to younger person. So, as it is not available for everyone, so in my case, I have not seen much people who is getting vaccinated, but I am not sure who is among our party from India who is having the vaccine, because I have not seen, or I don't know if Pradeep or Prasant is getting vaccinated, but in my knowledge, none of them actually got the vaccination. It's really very difficult even from private sector also, we have to pay a huge amount of money to get it vaccinated for one dose. So for normal people or general people, working class people, it is really very difficult to achieve that things.
Thanks for that, comrade. Next on the COVID list is, Janet, Janet Carter. Thank you, Janet.
Hello there. I couldn't unmute myself, but I think I've, with help, managed it now. Thank you, our Indian comrades, for coming to this meeting. It's wonderful to hear you and to see your names, and especially considering I think it probably is something about very late in the evening there, so you must be perhaps feeling quite tired. I met Comrade Binisarkar, many years ago when he came to Britain. He spent some time in London and then travelled out to Birmingham for the summer school. And that was a great pleasure to all of us. Wish we could repeat it, but that won't happen soon. I think that this discussion this evening has really highlighted the luck that we socialists have in living in this part of the world, in Britain, that we have this National Health Service, which provides this, or has provided for many of us, this protection against the virus. And the fact that some people refuse to take it in Britain is an indication of their luck, that they're able to have that choice. Because as it's highlighted in places like India and other parts of the world, people are not so lucky, not so fortunate. And we should congratulate ourselves that we chose to be born in this particular spot on this earth. It can't be very helpful to the Indian comrades to have this awful illness going around against all the other struggles that they have there. And I can only wish them well in their ongoing fight for socialism. Thank you.
Thank you, Carter, for your kind words. And one thing, actually, last time also you have joined in WSBI, where we were gathered for our meeting for Sunday night. So that time also, I think you were present. So, and one thing, one information I want to pass you, that Binisarkar actually is my uncle. So he knows me since my birth. So it's really very glad to know that you know Binisarkar when he went to Britain and met you. So it is nice to having such kind words from you. It's really very gladful to us.
Right. Next we have Joel. Okay, Joel.
Thank you, Abhishek, for the talk. Thank you very much. What is the percentage of people in India who deny that there is such a thing as a coronavirus? That's the first question. And the second question is, the people who do deny it, what are their sort of reasons? Is there a variety of reasons why they deny that there is such a thing? Thank you.
Sorry, 1 minute, Joel. I just missed your first question. Could you please?
Do you want me to send me first one again?
Yeah.
What is the percentage of people in India who deny there's such a thing as the coronavirus?
The thing is, none of the Indian actually denying, but the awareness of the people is pretty less. So that is the main concern. Actually, some people who doesn't know even the effect how deadly it would be. So in that perspective, you can say that they are denied. But what I would like to prefer that they are, they doesn't have such kind of knowledge, but government should take initiatives, or neighbors should take initiatives to learn them, teach them what is the current situation and what should they follow. And some people, the most of the people, are ignoring to protect themselves. Actually, what I have described earlier, that only 14% people wear mask properly. So you can imagine that among that the whole Indian, only 14% wear mask. That doesn't mean that they the others doesn't have mask or they didn't wear mask, but the consciousness, that is less for them. So that's maybe the reason to fear.
Thank you.
And your second question, please, Joel.
I don't need to ask the second question, because you've sort of said that in the main that people in India don't deny that there's coronavirus. So I don't really need to ask the second question, because it's redundant, really. But yeah, thank you for your answer anyhow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is Moggy. Thank you, Moggy.
Hello. Thank you, Abhishek, for a very well-prepared talk, and your English is excellent. Now, I was just wondering how you think India, well, not only India, but other countries like England and America, are going to get on top of this virus when only some of the people are wearing masks. Only some of the people are doing social distancing, and only some of the people are getting vaccinations. I don't think you're ever going to get on top of it that way. I mean, I don't want to sound smug, but I live in New Zealand, which is a small country. We've only got a population of 5 million, but we're a team of 5 million, and we got on top of the virus because we all wore masks. We all practice social distancing. The vaccinations are starting to be rolled out now. It's not come around to my turn yet. They're doing, you know, it in a priority thing. So people who work on the border and in the isolation facilities get the first vaccinations. So I'm way down the list. But I do feel safe because of this. But countries where not everybody is part of this team that's doing the masks and the social distancing and getting the vaccinations, you know, it can just flare up again and again. So how do you think you're ever going to get on top of this? Thank you.
Thank you, Moggy. It's a really sounds good when you tell that you are the 5 million, you are the team of 5 million people. That sounds really good. But even though in India we cannot say that we are a team of 140 crore, that is the basic difference. Okay, let it be, just because there are several reasons, but still I would like to say that we have to follow some basic rules. Whatever you have mentioned, that wearing mask, sanitization, maintain some basic things, whatever healthcare people, doctors, nurses always suggested, that is the key, how to cure and how to overcome from this kind of pandemic. Pandemic is not an easy situation in any steps. So it will take time, but we have to follow some basic rules. Even we got news that in USA or even some other country also, that they doesn't have fear to wear masks just because they have cured and they have vaccinated all the people. Even doctor also says that in India, obviously, that we have learned from them. Even though you got vaccinated, still you have to follow some basic rules, because vaccination doesn't mean that you will not be affected from by coronavirus. You might be affected even after vaccination, but if you follow some basic rules, that only prevent you to get COVID. So we have, like in childhood, whatever we asked children to do, do not give your hands to your mouth. This kind of small things, if we maintain even in our adult age, then also we can prevent the prevent from the pandemic like corona virus, COVID situation. So I believe whatever actually doctors or healthcare system always suggest, that wear mask if it is possible. For you to wear double mask, then you will get double protected. Get your hand sanitized always. Keep some safe distance. Do not split. Actually, I'm talking some wrong words. I'm using some wrong words, but here in India, it's quite normal that do not split on roads or anywhere. So such kind of things, we have to be cautious. So If you are get vaccinated or didn't get vaccinated, these things can prevent you from coronavirus. So we have to be followed these things. And one thing again, I would like to say that New Zealand might be a small country, but it's really very close to my heart. Actually, I'm a cricket lover, so from my childhood also, I love to see New Zealand, just because the nature of the people and everything, their attitude, their gratitude, everything that I love.
Right. Next, we have Comrade Sambu. Right, Comrade Sambu.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Comrade Abhishek, for delivering speech. I from West Bengal. At first, to the answer of Comrade Adam Buick, I have vaccinated. I have got vaccinated both doses as a frontline worker. But many comrades of our comrades from India, one question was sent to Comrade Adam Buick. That is it secure to be vaccinated? Where is it any type of conspiracy by the capitalist system or not? It was our question from India to the comrades of SPGP, and it was discussed in our regular every Sunday meeting. So I asked now Comrade Buick, Adam Buick, is there any conspiracy throughout the vaccinations of COVID-19? That's all. Thank you.
Would you like to reply to that, Comrade Chaudhary?
Oh, actually, he has asked to Adam Buick. Anyways, actually, it's a great things, Sambhu, that you are get vaccinated. Actually, here in India, the government vaccinated the frontline members who serve for government. So Sambhu is one of them. So he is getting vaccinated just because of he is a frontliner government employee. That's why. And secondly, Actually, could you please repeat your questions? I thought you have asked. The second thing, I forgot.
Is it any conspiracy of the capitalist system in the vaccination?
No. Okay. I remember. Okay. The thing is, as I told in my this PPT also, that there are several conspiration that we are seeing, that everything is getting black marketed. It doesn't matter whether people are dying in this situation or not, but everything is doing. Everyone want to take their part, want to get profited just because of doing some nonsense business with they even don't bother whether people are dying or not. They only bother about some money laundering. So these things can't control. Certainly in a country like India, where we know that always there is a black market is going on. And secondly is getting vaccinated. As I mentioned earlier, every doctor and healthcare people always suggested getting vaccinated is not like that. You won't be affected by coronavirus. You might be, but vaccination will reduce the harmness of the virus. So they always ask people to prevent themselves from such some basic things. It is very helpful, just because the deadly virus gets less affected if you are getting vaccinated. But that doesn't mean that it will not attack on you. So prevention is the first thing that we have to follow until we get vaccinated. It's not like that. If you are vaccinated, then you are free to do anything.
Right. Thank you, comrade. Adam again, please. Thank you, Adam.
To answer Comrade Sambu, I'm not a doctor or an expert in viruses and things, but I'm a rational person who listens to what people who do know about these things say. And I'm prepared to go along with the consensus that the vaccination will give you some protection against the virus. But I would agree that one thing I wouldn't do after what Abhishek has said, I certainly wouldn't buy a vaccine on the black market. I mean, that would be a rational reason not to get vaccinated. But if you can get vaccinated properly under proper conditions, which I can concede doesn't seem to be very easy in India, people should go ahead and do it. I mean, I've been vaccinated twice, and I assume I'm protected to a certain extent, like the medical people say.
Right. A further question from Comrade Finch.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, comrades. A question for the Indian comrades. I mentioned this last week to Comrade Chowdhury, that there was a new report on the BBC about Tata Steel and other companies in India. Supposedly, anyone, if an employee has died from coronavirus, that they were going to would pay do you have any confirmation of that, and how do you react to that? That's it.
Yeah, Finch, it is true. Actually, Ratan Tata have declared that that whoever working for Tata Steel, if he or she get died due to coronavirus, then up to 60 years of age, his salary will be got by his or her family member. And if he or she has any children, then after graduation, company will bear the cost. So at initial level, we thought that it is only for the people who is working for Tata Steel. And obviously, it sounds good because working class people working just because of money that he or she wants to earn to save for their family. So if even after his death, it's sure and it's assured that his family will not get affected or affected, then it's a really good things for them. So it sounds quite good for me. I haven't take any confirmation from other people, even not within our team. I discussed with Vinay regarding that, and his confirmation also the same way that I thought that it's a great initiative that he is paying even after his death to the family member. So it's a good thing. It's a genuine thing that he is doing. So nothing wrong with that, as I thought. So I'm not sure what other people actually are thinking, but for me, it's a great initiative.
Thank you, Jared. Comrade.
Well, it's 12 minutes past nine now. It just got over, and seeing there was nobody else in the speaking queue. Robert Chowdhury, would you like to sum up, please?
Yeah.
We seem to have lost him.
Can you hear me?
Ah, you're back. Right.
Oh, yeah. I just got disconnected.
Yes. Would you like to give a short Would you like to give a short summary, Comrade Chowdhury?
Yeah. It's really good to have a discussion like that. So it's nice to meet all of you to discuss with you the various corners, the various questions that you asked to discuss on that. So at the end of it, I would like to suggest you, we actually discussed about the situation, the COVID pandemic situation here in India, but we are from World Socialist Party, so there should not be any barrier or borderline within us. So I would request all of you, all of the people present in the world, that we must follow some basic rules. We must follow not to wear mask. We must follow to sanitize ourselves. We must look one to another so that we can be live safely. So it's a really good things to get in touch with one another. And whatever we have discussed, whatever we told against our government, that should not be we can discuss against them, but still we don't have rights to tell against them until we come in the power and do whatever we wish to do. So for that also, we asked, we have to understand the people for class consciousness. We understand the people how to do the goals, whatever we want to achieve. So at last, I will request you to tell the summary, whatever we have discussed. If I provide any miscommunication, any wrong information, then just pardon me. It was the first time that I am answering so long for that several people. So there might be some discontinuity, there might be some issue. So I would request you to pardon me, and all the best to you guys. Hopefully we will meet you again. It's really, really nice to having a discuss, having a chat with you. So that's it. It's already 1:45 in the night. So Indian people might be get very tired to want to go sleep. So we can close the discussion for today. It's my request for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, comrade. Before I eventually bring the meeting to a close, I'd just like to make one comment myself, if I may. And that is what you've related to us, comrade, in regards to the circumstances in India. It seems to suggest that India is unlikely to get the majority of its population vaccinated. If that is indeed the case, what it means is that the COVID-19 virus is going to be with us for quite some time. On that unhappy note, I thank you all for your participation in this meeting and wish you well for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Good night.